Hi, I'm Russell and I work at the video store, the place that you can go to every week when you're looking for something to watch. Behind the counter, with my friends, I get to talk about the films and the series that we're loving. All right, let's do it. Let's open up the shop.
Did you see that thing yesterday on the TV?
How's it?
Morning.
Hi there.
How you guys doing?
All right, dude. How are you?
I'm lekker.
Nice.
I'm lekker. Things are moving. Things are changing.
Yeah.
Oh.
I will get into it. We've got ourselves a Graham G-Force Hackney.
G'day.
Who is very much the producer and an editor. Mm. We're not working at the Bioscope. We've got ourselves a Kolsky Matthews.
I love the nicknames.
Coltrane.
Oh, Colas.
Colas McCoy. Coley.
Colas McCoy.
Who is a creative? What do we call ourselves these days?
It's my worst thing that I'm my noun creative job title. Yeah. It's a video copywriter.
Video copywriter. He's arty.
Yeah, I'm arty. You know, I'm creative.
He's like a creative.
Oh, thanks.
Don't know what that means. It's just anyone who like is involved in the arts, yeah, and the economy of the arts gets told by their whole family, he's a creative.
Yes.
Oh, no, it's advertising. That's all it is. People don't say that. Advertisers.
Oh, no. I've gotten that my whole life. I've gotten that my whole life. Yeah, he's like creative. Oh,
man, I hate it so much.
And my name is Russell. Ooh. I am the owner of The Bioscope, which is an independent cinema here in Johannesburg. And we've got our other job, which is working at the video store.
Yes.
I've said it before, and just to perhaps just elaborate, on the cusp of fatherhood here.
Yeah.
Today.
Daddy Russ.
Today, I'll have you know, my first drive to the video store where I've got a car seat installed.
Wow. Seriously.
And that was done for a few reasons. One, to learn the mechanics of a car seat,
yes,
which is vaguely intuitive and vaguely not.
Right.
Where it's like, it all kind of makes sense in the end, but like two grown humans struggled for a while to like figure it out. But then it makes sense. And then, yeah, to learn how to put this car seat on and off.
Yeah.
Because a good buddy and friend of the show, Tom Revington, has had his kid over in LA. And I asked him, you know, any last pieces of advice that you wish someone had told you? And he's like, practice the car seat. It took him a while. So it's that, and also, I guess, just general preparedness, because although we are going in for a planned retrieval, it could also happen at any point from here on out. So having this car seat installed is key. So yeah, that's me.
Cool. That's a wild time, dude.
My last weekend of quietness. Yeah.
I came out 2 months early.
2 months?
Yeah, it was like 7 weeks.
Right.
And I was like, can you imagine that unpreparedness?
Yes.
It's just like, what the fuck are you doing here, bro? My mom was just walking down the passage and it's just like, water breaks. She's like, wild. Shit.
I was like, I have things to do.
Exactly.
Yeah. Jesus. Okay, we have got lots to talk about.
Yeah.
Cole, you came to the Bioscope yesterday.
I did. I came to the Bioscope for a double feature.
Oh, that's so cool.
It was lovely. The first time I came, I had a pizza.
Yeah.
I had a Tom Hanks.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and the second time I had popcorn and a slushie.
You'd find this funny. The Tom Hanks pizza has outsold most on our list. And I was like, at one point, found that data, and as a small business owner was like, what can I do with this data?
Yes.
And my first question was like, why does the Tom Hanks do so well? And then I realized it was very largely because Bongi, one of our staff members, always recommends that one to people. But it's called the Tom Hanks because it is a selection of toppings that everybody loves, which is like a chicken pepperdew avo.
Absolutely.
And we have tried our best to match the personality of its naming character with the personality of that pizza. So, like, the one that everybody loves is Tom Hanks.
Okay.
The classy broad, which is the pear gorgonzola prosciutto pizza, is Meryl Streep because nice. she's a classy broad.
Yeah. I think you need to rename one of your pizzas.
Tell me.
The James Franco.
Yeah, because he's kind of...
Nobody wants to think about James Franco.
Maybe maybe it should be the Seth Rogen. I've thought about
this. Or the Dave Franco.
No, the point is Pineapple Express.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's got to, or the Danny McBride. It's got to be someone that was in the movie Pineapple Express. All that was the point. It was like stoner slash. But yeah, I think we've perhaps moved past James Franco.
Yeah.
Good point. Well taken. We could talk about Mardi Supreme a little bit more. We spoke a little bit about it last week with Perrin. But Cole, you've seen it now. I want to talk about Rental Family,
cool,
which I had the chance to watch. I've seen some cool stuff on Netflix.
Nice.
This past weekend, in my second last weekend of chilling.
Yeah.
One thing to just quickly touch on is obviously I'm going to take a little break.
Yes.
I'm going to leave the shop... with you guys.
Yeah.
Oh.
Is that all right? Eh? Yeah. For 2 weeks?
We can handle it.
I'm sure we're good.
So I think I've got one more in me.
Cool.
I think we've got to figure out the timing. Yeah, I've got one more episode.
Okay.
And then I'll disappear for 2 weeks as I hunker down in my paternity leave. Just promise me one thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That you guys won't just talk about Star Wars.
Don't worry, we've got that out of our systems.
Okay. Oh, we'll that's right.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that later.
Yeah.
In the
Yeah, no, there is a special Star Wars thing on its way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll leave it to you guys to handle. It'll be great.
Cool.
So yeah, that's just something worth mentioning at this point.
All right.
All right. Should we do a little round of Hey, Did You Guys See?
Let's do it.
Who wants to kick off?
I'll kick off.
Cool.
Have you guys seen that Jackass 5 has been confirmed?
Oh, yes.
Wild.
Yeah, we got Jackass 5 coming in June, I believe.
And I mean, it's amazing that those guys' bodies are still intact.
Yeah.
No. They're like the Rolling Stones of prank movies.
Right.
But I mean, just the sheer damage that they've done. I remember something funny where they asked Johnny Knoxville, what was the scariest moment for you in terms of injury or infection or something?
Right.
And he said there was one point where I got a little bit of Steve-O's blood on me. It's wild. I remember being in high school, MTV, late night MTV, and kind of discovering Jackass.
Yeah.
I'm sounding like such a hipster, but it was before it became the huge show that it was. And
yes.
And just going fuck, this is dangerous, this is weird, this is cool.
Mm.
And then of course it just became such a juggernaut.
Yeah.
I'll also never forget watching the Jackass movie at Monte Cassino in high school.
No.
Having a family sit down behind us, and I didn't. And I was so tempted to go, I'm sorry, guys, but I don't know whether you know what you're doing here. But I was like, you know what? I'm just going to mind my own business.
Yes.
And then I gave them 10 minutes, and then they just got up because they did not pay attention to what they were coming for.
Lesson learned for them, hey?
Right.
But we don't know anything about it. Just that it's on.
No. It's just been announced.
Okay.
Cool. Speaking of announcements, Did You Guys See? We are going to get a Godzilla Minus Zero.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's apparently coming in November.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting naming.
Yes.
But this is a new... Okay, so just for those who don't know, this is a new sort of series of Godzilla films.
Yeah.
Which are, correct me if I'm wrong, but a sort of Asian made again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like from Japanese production.
On a proper scale.
Yeah.
It is one of the biggest film franchises in history, having made far more than you could even comprehend.
Mm.
We, as the Western world, got our big ones in the 90s, and then there was a better Rego.
Yeah.
But now we've returned back to a more Asian-made series, where Godzilla Minus One happened, which was amazing.
Yeah.
There's a version of that, which I wish we could have screened at the Bioscope, called Godzilla Minus One Minus Color.
Yeah, it's the black and white version.
Fuck, that would have been rad.
Yes.
That would have been really cool.
And all of that came out before we got our upgrade in DCP, so I never had the chance, but I would have 100% screened Godzilla Minus One in the bioscope. Yes. That is perfect.
It is perfect.
So, and then, Graham, you explained the naming, which was that... it was all about the sort of the society, and if you're minus one.
Yes, because it's post-war Japan.
Exactly.
And the idea is they were at zero after the war.
Yeah.
And then Godzilla comes along and makes things even worse.
Yeah, so it's like them to minus one.
Yeah.
But now the maths doesn't really add up.
No.
Because if you minus zero, you kind of end up exactly where
you were. Then they've plussed one.
Yes.
They've plussed one to get to zero.
Well, if the naming convention continues, I guess the next one will be called Godzilla Plus One.
Yeah, exactly. That's lame. Surely it must go minus two, minus three, because then you still got the sequel thing going.
But do you understand? If you minus zero,
yes,
it makes no difference.
Exactly.
That's strange.
Yeah.
Maybe we're still at minus one, and they've minus zero. So they're still fucking at minus one. They haven't gone up or down. That's the idea. They thought they were at, they thought they were at zero now at the end of Godzilla Minus One.
Who knows? I guess we'll wait and find out in November.
Yes, but I'm excited. Hey, did you guys see... Hey, may as well do this one. Did you guys see the trailer for the new the next A24 movie, or A24 movie, The Death of Robin Hood?
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned this.
Mm.
With this Hubert Jackman.
Oh, yes, I was about to say.
Is his name really Hubert?
No. Well, I don't know, maybe. But it's old man Hugh Jackman, and he's like, hey, did you know that Robin Hood was actually a cuck bloke? And I know, because I'm Robin Hood and I'm a cuck bloke.
Nice. I feel like, I feel like I've just rewatched it.
Yeah, there you go. That feels like the premise. I don't know about this one.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if we need like a dour, like bleak, dark version of Robin Hood. Like what billionaire is funding this?
Yes. To smear the legacy of Robin Hood.
Like, hey, he's stealing from the rich is bad.
That's interesting, Harry. Because A24 is owned by... the son of one of the wealthiest people in the world.
Oh,
I thought that was the joke you were making.
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, no. A24 is owned by a family member linked to someone's going to be shouting in their car at me about this. The second wealthiest dude in the world.
Oh, okay.
The guy that's like people don't really know too much about.
Right.
But he's definitely top five. He's Oracle. Cole, are you busy Googling this?
I am. You're talking about Josh Kushner.
Yeah.
And he's the son of famous billionaire real estate developer Charles Kushner.
Okay. Oh, no, then I got my billionaires mixed up.
Right.
Okay, is that the guy who owns A24?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, at least I think they may have invested in A24. I don't know if they own it.
Yes.
Right.
But I think they invested a few billion in it.
The guy who you're talking about who started it, his net worth is now 5.2 billion.
Damn.
So
the guy who started
Josh Kushner, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Okay. Oh, well, no, he's an investor. Sorry, he's not an owner, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I thought.
So, what is it?
The Death of Robin Hood.
Oh god. Okay.
And we already had we already had a movie like that about old man Robin Hood. There was a one where Sean Connery played Robin Hood. Came out in the 70s.
Oh damn, I didn't know that.
70s or the 80s. I think it was called Robin and Marion or something like that.
Okay.
Is this also just like a Logan?
Yeah, it kind of has that a bit of that vibe.
Right?
Hands down, best Robin Hood adaptation.
Yeah.
Men in Tights. Okay.
Been too long since I watched that, man.
It is so good.
Have to rewatch it.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, did you guys see at the 9th annual ASTRA Awards, Indy the Dog won Best Horror Performance?
Yes, from Good Boy.
Yeah, making history. It's for the film Good Boy.
Hey.
And
so funny.
I just love this because when the award season started, the joke was made, how do we get the dog from Good Boy to be nominated? It's such an injustice that this dog can't get an award. And then what's very cool is that a smaller awards festival could get away with doing this joke.
Yes.
The fact is you're robbing an award from, hefty performances.
Yes.
What's lovely is that it's just performance, so it could be gender neutral. So Sally Hawkins was nominated for
Bring Her Back.
Right.
Ethan Hawke was nominated for Black Phone 2. And of course the award goes to this dog who probably doesn't know what's going on. But it's but what I love about it is that you hear these fun entertainment facts of things that have happened in history.
Right.
You know, years later, you don't remember the movie, but you remember this kind of fun fact. And I just love the fact that we made history here and we're going to get a sort of Christmas cracker fact, you know, for 100 years' time. When it's like, hey, remember the time the dog won an award? So it's cool. I think that's funny. I also think it is interesting to note that he is a Nova Scotia duck tolling retriever.
Right.
Oh, that's quite a niche retriever.
Right.
That is one of the niches.
Is he a golden retriever, though?
No.
Is he still golden?
No, he is a Nova Scotian object. it's like a brownie whitey thing.
Okay.
He's like a mix of things.
So racist.
Next.
Okay, how did you guys see that Sebastian Stan is rumored to have been cast in the Batman 2?
Yes.
I just wanted to swing this past Graham to see what his theory is around who the villain might be. I know a lot of people are talking about Hush.
A lot of people are saying it's Harvey Dent.
Mm.
That's like the main rumor.
Yeah.
I've been thinking that the second one is going to be about Hush for all. There's like stuff that they hinted at in the first one. It's a Batman villain.
But who is he? What does he do?
He's a childhood friend of Bruce Wayne's. Who the story is, Bruce Wayne's father was a surgeon. What's his name? Elliot something? Thomas Elliot is a bit of a psycho, but we didn't know that as when he was a kid. They were in a car accident. His father died. Talking about the Elliots.
Yes.
Bruce Wayne's father managed to save his mother.
Okay.
But Thomas Elliot is the one who caused the car crash to try and kill his parents.
Hectic.
Yes, when he was a child. But so then he's always blamed the Waynes for saving his mother when he intended her to die. And then he had to like look after her for the rest of
her
life.
That is very dark and nuanced.
Yeah.
Which is Batman. Which is very Batman.
His villain looks really cool. He's basically wrapped in gauze. And he's wearing a trench coat, but his face is all wrapped in gauze. And then he, at least in the Hush comic, he becomes more of a like evil mastermind villain that's coordinating the smaller villains, right? And those are pretty cool.
But there's a few things in the first one that sort of hint at that a little bit.
Right.
Like the journalist who... The whole story in the Batman is there's a journalist who was going to like reveal stuff about Thomas Wayne.
Yes.
And then a guy like had him killed. That journalist's name was someone Elliot.
Oh.
Thomas Elliot is Hush. Okay. So I'm like, oh, they're just changing the story a bit. And...
Mm.
But in Batman, if his dad was a surgeon, how did he get all the money? Did he make the money himself as Bruce Wayne?
No, his family have been wealthy like forever.
Oh, it's generational past his parents.
Yeah.
And then in this announcement, so this is the continuation of the Robert Pattinson Batman, which we got like 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
2023, I think.
Wild.
Yeah.
Which we all loved. And we admired it for being nice and dark and more of a traditional Batman and the fact that he like actually solves crimes and doesn't just do stunts and is not this kind of campy far cry from the other Batman movies we've seen.
Yeah.
But there also is like Barry Keoghan's going to be the Joker.
Yeah.
You've still got Colin Farrell returning as the Penguin.
Mm-hmm.
So there are lots of villains already involved.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yes.
Do we know when that's coming out?
2027, I think.
Oh, Lord.
So next year.
Okay.
That's already next year. That's terrifying.
Do we have any others?
Let's talk about
the big one.
Yeah.
Hey, did you guys see? I didn't.
Yeah.
And I just woke up to it that the Golden Globes happened last night.
Same
thing. Wild. Okay. So across today, I'm sure it'll be big news.
Mm.
What happened?
What happened?
Firstly, who hosted?
I have no idea.
Because the Ricky Gervais era will certainly go down as like the best hosting of the Golden Globes.
I mean, it's sort of tainted by being Ricky Gervais.
You don't dig him, eh?
I hate that guy.
I just love how it just took all the pomp out of the room.
A little bit.
He's like, get up here, say a little speech,
yes.
Get on with it. Like, don't thank your God or whatever.
Right.
Just thank you people. Don't make it a platform for fucking saving the world. And get on with it. Okay, but let's we'll find out who hosted it in a bit.
Yeah.
What were some of the big awards?
You want to go through categories?
Yeah, sure.
You got it.
Or do you want to do it?
Anyone can do it.
You do it, bro.
Cool. So let's just start at the top of this list. Best motion picture. Man, the categories in the show are sometimes like
dumb,
so niche. Okay, but best category. So best motion picture drama went to Hamnet.
Oh, yay.
Have you seen it?
No. Okay. I missed a few chances to watch it as an exhibitor at the end of last year.
Okay.
It starts on the 23rd in Jan.
That's soon.
Very soon. And tickets are on sale and they're selling really quick, which is great.
Cool.
It's definitely one of the Oscar hopefuls. But I think it's worth mentioning, and you touched on it now, that the categories are funny.
Yeah.
But the Golden Globes are famous for dividing a film or dividing the films between drama or musical comedy.
Yes.
Mm.
Which I think it makes them unique. It makes the Golden Globes different.
Yeah.
And so something like Sinners, which is a good example, had to choose when you're kind of both. It's a bit interesting or funny to know which way to compete.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a little bit like the music world where you're like, am I more rock or am I more alternative? Or is this more country or is this pop? Which is funny, but in a way it kind of helps.
Yes.
So it was up against Sinners in drama, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Hamnet beat out Sinners.
Yes.
And it beat out, or did, wait, One Battle didn't put itself in this category.
Yeah.
Hey.
This is why it's so weird. So Best Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy was One Battle after another.
Okay, because it is very funny.
It is funny. I don't know if I'd call it a comedy, though.
Exactly.
But here's the thing.
It's a niche genre.
If you had to choose, which one would you put yourself in?
Yeah.
Yeah, which one would you stand a better chance of winning? Because that's
what I was going to say. It feels
like
absolutely. It feels like they'll sometimes put themselves in a genre that they're not necessarily aligned with.
You're up against Wicked for Good. Of course you're going
to
win.
I mean, that wasn't even nominated. Yeah. I don't think any musicals were nominated. Best Motion Picture Animated, K-pop Demon Hunters, haven't seen it.
And they also won Best Song for Golden, which kind of tracks, because that's a massive hit.
Yeah,
it has been huge. Best Motion Picture Non-English Language, The Secret Agent, apparently it's very good.
That's the one, That one, that didn't win Cannes, hey?
I have no idea.
Cannes was, it was just an accident.
Oh, okay.
But Secret Agent is the other big one.
Yes.
And then there's that... And then there's that third film, which is doing very well, which is the Norwegian film or Swedish film.
Stellan Skarsgård.
Three are the sort of the big international films.
Sentimental Value.
Sentimental Value, Okay.
Best performance by female actor in a motion picture drama. This is what I mean. That was Jessie Buckley.
Lovely.
For Hamnet again.
She's going to take it, man. I think she's going to get the Oscar.
And then again, best performance by a male actor in a motion picture drama was Wagner Moira. That was for The Secret Agent.
Secret Agent.
That's pretty cool. I like that dude.
Wagner's a good actor.
He's a very good actor. Then best female actor, a musical comedy, was Rose Byrne.
If I had legs, I'd kick you,
which is a great name.
Yeah. And apparently it's a great movie, but I think she also, it's a very intense, very dramatic movie.
Yes.
But I think it just has elements of comedy in it.
Okay,
so it was a smart category to put themselves in.
Yeah, and then male actor, musical or comedy was Timothy Chalamet.
Okay.
From Marty Supreme. Would you call Marty Supreme a comedy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I would.
Good.
It's not comedy in the sense that you're going to laugh throughout it, though.
Okay.
It's comedy in the sense that you're, agonizing at how sardonic and dark it is.
Okay.
So it's
sardonic's a nice word. What does that mean?
Yeah. Oh, man, it's one of those ones that's hard to explain. let me Google it. So I don't feel like describing words this early in the morning.
Okay. While you're looking that up, best supporting actress, Tiana Taylor, for One Battle After Another.
Okay.
Best supporting actor, Stellan Skarsgård, Sentimental Value. How many of these do we want to do? So best director, Paul Thomas Anderson.
Yep.
Cool.
Best screenplay was also Paul Thomas Anderson.
Okay. Let's go to music.
Best original song, like Cole said, was Golden. Best score was Sinners.
Okay, because that's going to be the interesting one. I think one of the nice, fun ones to track is One Battle After Another versus Sinners in the music categories.
Yes.
Mm.
But Sinners, I think, deserves it, eh?
Yeah, I think it's going to go to Sinners.
That's Ludwig, eh?
Yeah, Ludwig Göransson.
Did you see the other award that Sinners won?
What are you talking about? Cinematic and box office achievement.
Yeah.
What a freaking weird category.
That's like a participation trophy.
Especially since freaking this category, right? Cinematic and box office achievement.
Yeah, what was it
up against? Cinema and box office. Yes. Why is K-pop Demon Hunters nominated? It was a streaming movie.
Yeah.
Yeah,
also,
exactly.
Mission Impossible The Final Reckoning was a flop. Why is it nominated?
Yeah, why does it even qualify?
It's so arbitrary.
That's interesting.
We can do best TV drama was The Pit.
Okay.
Apparently it's great. I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard it's
I should watch. Finally watch a medical serial. Yeah. I think it's time.
I haven't seen one in a long time.
Is The Pit available in South Africa?
I have no idea, to be honest.
Let's check.
I don't think. Sorry, it's
an HBO Max show, so it might be on...
Showmax.
Yeah. Showmax.
What does sardonic mean?
Grimly mocking or cynical.
Okay, cool. Okay. That makes sense.
So it's comedy in that sense, not in the funny ha-ha.
Yeah. Best television musical comedy, The Studio.
Cool.
Which was great. That was a really good show.
Yeah, because Golden Globes is TV and film.
Yeah. And then best limited series, anthology series, or motion picture made for television. Adolescence.
Oh, that's deserving.
Yeah. Those are good awards.
Lovely. Yes. Okay, what are you busy Googling, Cole?
There's a bunch more, obviously. We'll include a link in the description. You can see all the other winners.
Yeah.
Yeah, The Pit's on Showmax.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
All right, let's give it a watch.
Yeah.
Let's find out what it's like. Okay. We should probably get to work.
Yeah.
In the sense that we should stock the shelf.
Okay.
I've got a few arrivals that I need you guys to put on the shelves.
Cool.
Over on Netflix, Cole, can you put Materialists up on the Netflix shelf?
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's a nice one.
Yes.
And I always find it so interesting what kind of sparks someone like Liz, my wife, her kind of normie sensibility.
Right.
And when she saw that, she's like, this looks good.
Yes.
And I'm like, yeah, it is good. So we're going to watch it again.
Nice.
Well, I want to watch it again.
Cool.
Lovely modern rom-com. This is the woman who made Past Lives. Someone please remind me of her name.
Celine Song.
Celine Song, who was a Oscar-nominated director. And it's a nice, modern rom-com set in New York. Tron Ares has very quickly arrived Disney Plus.
Yeah.
It didn't have too much of an on-demand life for itself, so it is just there now.
Yep.
Then I thought something that's interesting is we spoke a lot about the Springsteen film.
Oh yes,
which is called Deliver Me from Nowhere, which sadly isn't getting the awards ceremony love that we perhaps thought it was going to get.
Right.
But I still thought it was a good movie. It's all about it's a moment in Bruce Springsteen's life where at the start of his career he did something rather unconventional. Instead of riding a wave of success from the album The River, he wanted to get his personal demons worked out, making a very uncommercial album called Nebraska.
Right.
What I find interesting is over on Disney Plus is a very simple, very stripped down black and white, very grainy, very cool looking performance of Bruce Springsteen playing the album Nebraska.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Literally no frills, no fuss, which is exactly what he wanted from that album. But this is him as himself today, sitting down playing the album from start to finish.
Old man Bruce.
Old man, right now Bruce.
Okay.
Okay.
Playing the album Nebraska.
Oh, I told you this in person last week, but I never knew this, that Bruce Springsteen is like one of the only muso billionaires.
Oh.
Made solely from his music, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, other musicians are billionaires, but not necessarily because of their music. Rihanna.
Taylor Swift.
Rihanna is a fashion company owner that makes music on the side.
Yeah.
It's the same as George Clooney is a tequila maker that occasionally acts.
Right.
It's like if you really look at their net worth and where the money comes from. Taylor Swift has made it from her career. So she's...
I'm sure that's from music, yeah.
Yeah, she's certainly there. Okay, but old Springsteen's made a billion, eh?
Good for him.
Yeah, interesting. Real working man, you know?
Right.
Real, got the cloth in my back pocket because I'm trying to make ends meet. Real blue-collar guy. No, that's one, and he's even in some interviews even admitted, like, it's a character.
Yes.
He's always seen Bruce Springsteen as a character that he's got to represent to his people.
Interesting.
Should we play a quick little round of this game?
Yeah, cool.
Oh, yeah. Game that makes me feel really bad about how much I know about movies.
Let's play the game, which we love to play over here, called What Movie Am I?
Cool.
How fast can I Google while we're doing this?
No, you can't. You've got to put your computer away. I thought, let's swap this around.
Okay.
So I'll do one, and everyone else, and you know, the you two answer, and we'll go around.
So we'll do three rounds.
We'll just do three.
Cool.
The rules are, when you know what it is, you got to shout, "Oh, Captain, my Captain."
Right.
Okay. When it comes to your turn to read the card, just remember that I think it's like the third prompt.
Yeah, I just avoid the one that's most
obvious. It's always the fucking obvious one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't even know what the fuck this movie is.
Read it, man.
I don't think you guys will get this.
Try us. We can. If there's a stalemate, we'll move on.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Okay. I am a dark comedy drama.
Mm-hmm.
I am based on a hit novel of the same name. I am in Swedish. I have an English adaptation that stars Tom Hanks.
It stars Tom Hanks. That was adapted from a Swedish movie that was adapted from a novel.
I will allow it if you know the name of the Tom Hanks movie.
Right.
Because no one is going to know the name of the original Swedish one.
I'm trying to figure out what Tom Hanks movie could be.
Okay, I'll give you the last one. My main character is a grumpy old man.
Well, that narrows it down.
My captain. Is it A Man Called Otto?
Yeah, well done. The real prompt is A Man Called Ove.
Oh, right.
Which no one was going to get.
Yeah, exactly.
Which was a 2015 film.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen that. I just know the poster. Yeah.
It's a cute film. It's a cute film. It's got a little bit of goo in it.
It looked, the poster was exactly like About Schmidt with Jack Nicholson. It's like this grisly old man just looking into the lens.
Okay.
Yeah.
You guys are definitely going to get this one.
Okay.
I hope.
It's about who gets it first.
Yes.
Okay.
I am a thriller and a dark comedy.
Okay.
I explore inequalities between social classes. I feel like any of the next ones are going to give it away.
Oh, Captain, my Captain.
Yes.
Parasite.
Yes.
Yay!
Oh, damn it.
The other ones were, my plot focuses on multiple Korean families. I would have given away.
Lol.
Lol.
Okay, so we avoid the third prompt.
Yeah, one you just scan them and one of them is undoubtedly.
Whichever ones are super obvious.
Yeah. I am a romantic drama.
Okay.
I am supernatural.
Okay.
Third prompt sucks, you're so right. I feature an Oscar-winning performance by Whoopi Goldberg. I did not know that.
Oh, Captain, my Captain. Is it a ghost?
Yes, well done. The other clues were, I put Unchained Melody back on the Billboard charts and I am known for a sensual pottery scene.
Oh.
Put it in the back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
There is a delightful part of the TV show Community.
Yes.
Where part of the joke of Community is all these characters in a really bad community college.
Yeah.
And a lovely part of what they can play with in the show is all the ridiculous classes that they can attend. Mm. And the one was a pottery class, and it was hosted, the teacher was a guest star. It was Tony Hale from Arrested Development.
Yes.
And he just had one rule in his class, which is no one is allowed to recreate the ghost scene.
Right.
And of course, at some point in the show, it happens. Yes. And he's like, I told you, no ghost. You're not allowed to do ghost.
Did you guys fucking see the trailer to that Chevy Chase documentary?
Oh, I haven't seen the trailer, but I've heard about it, though.
Dude, this thing crashed and burned all over social media last week. It is fucking insane.
It was about him making it, right?
It's just like they have the trailer, but then there's a clip that I think they released a clip from the movie that's been circulating. And it's just kind of the start of the interview where this chick's like, okay, I'm here to get to know you better.
Yeah.
And then Chevy Chase just looks at it and says something like, well, isn't that fucking obvious? And then just smiles at her.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're going to struggle. And she's like, why? Because you're not intelligent enough. And he's just like talking to this interviewer like she's a piece of shit.
Yeah, but then that deserves to get out.
Yeah.
And he says, oh, I hope you don't use this in the documentary.
You never say that and to then a also smart the, documentary filmmaker.
The entire community cast came out and spoke out about it.
Yeah. Well, a lot of them didn't want to be in this documentary because they just don't want to talk shit about him.
Lots of people who've worked with just like didn't want to participate in this.
It's interesting.
He's such an arsehole. Joel McHale's been quite upfront about it. He's like, I've straight up had fist fights with the guy.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
And he's, the irony is that also his character in Community is very frustrating and very racist and very bigoted and very like, so maybe that's why that character was so good. Pierce Hawthorne. But it's just interesting that he was that bad in real life.
Yeah.
Crazy. Okay, let us quickly talk about Rental Family.
Cool.
We opened our Bioscope calendar and started screenings this last weekend. We opened with Kiss of the Spider Woman, which was very cool for us to have that interview with Bill Condon, the director. We opened with Mardi Supreme, where every screening this weekend was sold out.
Cool.
And we very much have Cole to thank for one, two,
three, two tickets for Marty.
Two of those tickets. Thank you very much. And then the third one is this delightful, heartwarming, somewhat smaller under the radar film. Mm. Like it's not necessarily getting this crazy huge hype, but everybody talking about it gave such beautiful, genuine reviews that I knew we had to take it at the Bioscope. And I'm so glad we did. Because also the screenings have done well.
Cool.
Those three films all unlocked on Friday morning for me at the Bioscope so that I could have a chance to watch them.
What do you mean by unlocked for those who don't know?
So what I mean by that is that we get our films as these big encrypted files that we ingest into our projector, our media server, so to speak, here at the Bioscope. And part of how these films are controlled is that, well, for safety and security and privacy, is that they're encrypted and that I get a special key made solely for my projector that would unlock this film for certain windows of time so that I can't exploit it out of an agreed upon period of time with the distributor. And it's always a little nerve-wracking because sometimes with like a festival, you've got an encrypted film that would only unlock something like an hour before your scheduled screening. Right. And these are digital codes generated by a company that could be on the other side of the world. And so you always just hope that they've got the right time zone and that it is worked out correctly. And that stupid things like daylight savings are taken into account or whatever.
Shit.
So that this film can work.
Yeah.
But thankfully, and touching all the wood in the world, we've never had an issue with KDMs. That's what they're called.
Nice.
Key delivery messages. But yeah, it's always been a bit nerve-wracking. And when we first started doing these kinds of screenings, and let's just say I was going away for the weekend, on one or two occasions right at the start, I said to my wife, please, can we just stop past the Bioscope? I want to turn it all on and I want to make sure it's unlocked before I leave because I've just got this vision of us like getting to the Bush Lodge and a staff member going, it's unlocked. I mean, it's locked.
Yeah.
So it's a funny little thing, but thankfully they've always worked out because this is super professional and all the best minds are working on it. So it's not a funny thing. Mm. But yeah, so these things unlocked and I've got a wife now who has resigned from her job.
Okay.
On the cusp of being a mother, and is not working at this point because she's on the cusp of becoming a mom. And so she's got a bit of time on her hands. And so she has said to me, I hear you talking all the time about how people are hiring the Bioscope, you know, as a date for these date night things that happen where people hire the Bioscope for just the two of them.
Right.
We do it at more off-peak times. Mm. But she's like, we should have a date night at the Bioscope.
Cute.
Or like a date movie.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? I'm all for it. And then she saw a post of Rental Family that the Bioscope posted.
Right.
She's like, I want that one.
Cool.
Good choice,
this one looks lovely. So it was so delightful on Friday. She came through And I experienced what many people do, which is to have a couple screening.
Okay.
That's what we call them, just a couple screening at the Bioscope. Nice. And we watch the most heartwarming fucking movie ever. It's delightful. Do you know what it's about, Graham?
Yes.
Okay. And Cole, you've seen it.
I've seen it.
Okay.
But let's do a back of the box for the listeners.
Quick back of the box is that this is a film set in Japan, made by an Asian filmmaker, which I think definitely plays a part. And we follow Brendan Fraser's character, who is a somewhat struggling actor playing the roles of, you know, the token American guy. He seemed to have been in a bunch of commercials in Japan and stumbles into a gig where there is an agency that calls themselves Rental Family, where you play the role of a family member in someone's life. So you could pretend to be a father, you could be a son, you could be someone else, and you effectively act. And in most cases, it feels like, you know, the people involved don't know you're an actor.
Right.
Going in, I wasn't sure whether that was the case. But it seems as if the point of this is to kind of dupe someone, but it's for a greater good. One of the first things he had to do was be a grieving white guy at a funeral,
right,
which I thought was a lovely
movie. And the client is the guy in the coffin. So he's listening to everyone else mourn him.
Yes.
And then at the end he's like, I feel like my life has significance now, thank you.
Yeah, then without giving much away, one of his next jobs is to be the Western husband to an Asian woman who wants to leave.
Right.
So she has to fool her parents. So she has to lie.
Okay.
And so, yeah, what happens is he obviously gets involved in the lives of these throughout the movie. There's like two or three plots happening. Right. And it's just this beautiful, life-affirming movie where what it means to be someone important in someone's life, what it means to have connections and what it means to be alive. And it's just why I said it's important that it's a Japanese... Well, I don't know whether she is Japanese. She's definitely Asian, the director. This is the same director who gave us the TV show Beef.
Hikari.
I love how it's just like the one name.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Adele.
It might be Hikari.
Hikari.
Mm. Don't know if they're Japanese. It sounds like a Japanese name.
Right.
Is that it? All the traditions and what it means to be Japanese definitely felt like it was coming from the inside as opposed to being viewed from the outside and to make those traditions or ideas seem more... I don't know, sensationalist or done up. Like, it just feels like it's just in the fabric of the movie, but it still manages to explain a lot to you.
Okay.
And there's just lovely little moments. There's like one turn in particular, Cole, which I'm sure nobody saw coming. And when it happens, you're just like, fuck, that's smart. That's just so good.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's just so good. And it's just not, it's not poked at you, it's just revealed, and you're like, fuck, that's good. Just beautiful scenes, and just Brendan Fraser is also just the perfect person at this time, where he's come back into mainstream movies. You know, people say Hollywood, even though this movie is sort of feels very Japanese, but it is released on a sort of Hollywood level. He's just got the most expressionist face and eyes,
right,
and a tenderness to him, having come out of a film like The Whale, and having come through a certain level of trauma and humility in his life to enter into a role like this, just done with so much grace. It's like, it's just lovely.
Cool.
When there's something that happens around the wedding that we were talking about where he's playing the husband, where they basically explain why she has to run away. It's not necessarily a reason you're asking yourself when they're like, why does she have to run away?
Yes.
It's just a situation you accept. But then on top of that, they add the reason why. And when it happens, you heard both Reinhardt and I go...
and I had the exact same moment. So this is quite early on. So it sets the pace, it sets the tone of the film, which is going to be this like gentle dose of goo.
Right.
Where it's not like, cry now, but this moment happens and you're like, oh God. And that to me, I always make a joke that the gooey, and that's been my sort of little thing here at the video store, is Russell always talking about the goo. I've always described it as a very quick, like almost like microwave in your stomach, where like it doesn't necessarily build up like a stove. All of a sudden, it just turns on.
Right.
And at that point, it was as if someone just pressed start on the microwave. And I was like, oh God, this movie is going to be gooey, but in a lovely way, not in a trauma, you know, devastating way.
It's like watching Hopecore videos on Instagram.
Oh, right.
Is that a genre?
Yeah.
Hopecore.
That's fully a thing. It's like when you're watching a vet come home and see their dog for the first time in 2 years.
Right.
Another lovely one is when, and I think some of these are even AI generated, which is sad, which is when everyone sits in a room, out, like in a waiting room of a dog shelter.
Right.
Have you ever seen these?
No. Yeah.
There's a whole wing of Instagram with people all sitting with their hands sort of on their lap, head down, in a waiting room of like a SPCA,
nice.
And they take a dog out, and the dog sort of walks around and sniffs and seems to sort of find one person,
right,
and sort of attach themselves up and sort of put their paws up, and then these people cry because they're like, the dog chose me, and you're just like, oh my God, you're going to be so happy together. So
the only equivalence I've seen of that is someone filming the dogs in the kennels at these places where they walk past the dogs that never get adopted.
Right.
But then it's a compilation video of them going up to the dogs that are getting adopted that day every single time and being like, it's your turn. It's your turn. You're getting adopted. And the dog's like tails wagging and he gets let out the cage.
Okay.
Yeah, it's awful.
Hopecore.
No, it's a Hopecore movie, basically.
It's so good. Yeah.
It's very, very good. And also the gooeys are perfectly timed throughout the movie. It's like well-paced. It's not like you have just giant gooey at the end. It's like they're sprinkled throughout the whole movie.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it's delightful. Cole, anything you want to add on Marty Supreme?
I don't know. Well, I didn't listen to Perrin's episode, sorry.
No, it's not about that. It's just about what your voice to it.
So I feel like if anyone watched Uncut Gems, did you guys watch that?
I missed that.
Yeah,
so did I. Oh, guys. So like when I watched it, I was so grateful that I had a remote that I could pause the movie because it's still the most anxiety-inducing film I've ever seen in my life. Like, better than any horror, better than any thriller.
People talk about that. That's been its overriding thing, was that Uncut Gems has this tone.
Yeah.
It's not a tone that sounds appealing. It's not something I want to put myself through.
Exactly.
So it is not a film I've ever watched.
Right.
And I was thinking to myself when I watched that, I was like, how the fuck did you watch this in a cinema without the ability to pause it? Because then you just would have been on this incessant 2.5 hour anxiety trip.
Yeah.
And that's what Marty Supreme was.
Right.
So this director very much enjoys that kind of experience of putting people in situations that are like insane situations that they've landed themselves up in.
Right.
And like there is a lot at stake. It's incredibly stressful and this happens repeatedly. It's like a trend.
But
it's like pathological.
Stress and anxiety feels like a tone in filmmaking that would be difficult to achieve.
Yes.
Mm.
So to me that means the writing is great. It means the editing is great. Obviously the acting is good. But everything around that, like all craft seems to be working very well.
Yes.
Right. If you are successfully able to make someone anxious.
Yeah.
Like that to me feels like quite a difficult thing to get
across. Think
so that immediately signals that it's a good film, which we obviously know it is, and it's done so well. It's already made its budget back in the box office and it's only getting started.
Yeah.
It's going to win a whole bunch of awards. So Chalamet's now won twice.
Yeah,
he's won Critics' Choice and
he's won
the
Critics'
Globes.
Choice and Golden Globe. So he's on his way to potentially win the Oscar, which is exciting.
Mm.
Do you think he is?
Absolutely.
This is an Oscar-winning performance.
The reason why it's so good at making you feel anxious is because it's authentic, and I've been listening to a whole bunch of podcast interviews with Josh Safdie.
Nice.
The cool one was with Ben Affleck at the Directors Guild of America interviewing him. And he talks about how, 50-60% of the cast is not actors. They're non-actors.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like you have that guy from Shark Tank.
Right.
O'Leary.
Okay, I don't know.
Yeah. He's like Kevin O'Leary, I think his name is.
Okay.
He's called Mr. Wonderful in Shark Tank,
okay.
I think. And he plays like one of the antagonists in the film, and he's never acted in his life before.
Okay.
And then there's also a guy who's busy designing his ping pong balls for him. Right. Not an actor.
Okay.
But then these performances come out that are incredibly authentic.
He's unlocked a whole bunch of fans because of Tyler, the Creator.
Yes.
What was he like in the film?
Brilliant. Absolutely incredible. He plays a taxi driver.
If you're just the right person in the right role, and we've said this before, you can take a non-actor and you can make them a brilliant actor if you've written the fucking movie well.
Yeah. Mm.
Because we all know you can take an incredible Oscar-winning actor and make them look shit if your movie is badly written.
Mm. Yeah. So you said that he wrote a whole bunch of roles into this for specific actors like Gwyneth Paltrow, like Timothée Chalamet.
Yes.
And it just comes across as incredibly authentic. Like, the thing that strikes me about all the interviews is the amount of authenticity he strove for in directing,
okay.
where he would keep on complaining that the garbage didn't look like real garbage to the art directors on set, where it just looked like crumbled up paper.
Yes.
They're just like, that doesn't look like real garbage. And they would like investigate what were these like back alley, because there's a back alley chase scene.
Right.
And it's like, what were those spaces used for? And the one thing they discovered was that it was for, they would kill ducks at Chinese restaurants in the alley behind the restaurants. So they had, you didn't see it in the film, but you heard it.
Right.
There were cages full of ducks, and Timothy had to jump over the wall into like trash bags. So he's like, don't fucking land on the ducks, dude, when you jump over the wall. And also Timothy like really putting his, I mean, this is a, I need to, language warning. He puts his whole pussy into this performance. Ever since I heard a gay describe it this way, I've been using it to describe how people just throw everything they have into a performance. And like there's a scene where he gets hit with a paddle on the bum.
Right.
Not giving away anything in terms of plot.
Yeah.
But he refused to get a stunt double for that. Because like the entire thing around this movie is that this character really fucking deserves it.
Right.
Right? And you like kind of want to see him get hit on the bum to get some punishment.
Yeah.
Not in a sexual way.
Yeah.
But then Timothy was like, I need to feel what that feels like. Right. I need to like experience the shame to like get the performance across. Like that kind of thing. It just feels like, it feels so unreal.
You'd love this. Once for dinner many, many years ago, many partners or girlfriends ago, I was in Seraldine, which is one of Joburg's Chinatowns.
Yeah.
You could argue that Rivonia is like the new Chinatown of Joburg. And going to the bathroom, I remember turning left took you to the passage outside that went to the bathrooms. Turning right was a bunch of ducks hanging on a clothesline in the fucking Joburg air.
Yeah.
Went to the bathroom, came back, and was like, let's not order the duck. the Peking duck. That's wild.
Oh, man.
I would love to now talk about some television.
Cool.
Yeah.
There is a film that has just come to Netflix called People We Meet on Vacation, which is a lovely, very much a Netflix rom-com.
Right.
It is based on a famous book that is like, you know, in exclusive books, they've got that like book talk. Have you ever seen that?
Yes.
Where they're like, it's sort of a more meme-y, conversational kind of Gen Z, cool young book.
Right.
I wouldn't go so far as to say young adult because it's a little more mature than that. But it is that kind of book which has now seen a film adaptation. And I just thought, on the way to work, I thought, I think I could sell this to a person like Cole just to contextualize this film. Cole, you love very challenging, interesting music, like Tool and Dream Theater. And in a way, the kind of movies we're talking about that you love, like the Mardi Supremes, are very nuanced, very smart, very Oscar winning, you know, quite challenging films. But imagine a really great pop song that just gets your attention where you're like, oh my God, this is a great, simple,
absolutely
beautiful pop song.
Love those.
Like a K-pop Demon Hunters song.
Oh, it's so good.
And so that's what this movie is. Like, let's not give it any more props than it is, but it is a delightful, fun film. I think you'd find it interesting that it is vaguely the same plot as When Harry Met Sally.
Oh, right.
Okay.
So two beautiful people with lovely nuanced personalities have to drive together to college for the first time as strangers,
right.
Which is basically how When Harry Met Sally started. Mm. And similar to When Harry Met Sally, the film is different vignettes over the course of their relationship that eventually results in, why the fuck are we not together?
Okay.
Because we love each other. Mm. So it is delightful and cheesy, but definitely worth a Sunday afternoon mooch.
Cool.
So that is called
That's really cool.
People We Meet on Vacation.
Mm.
And also you'd find this interesting, the main, not interesting, but I think you'd find it funny. The main woman, she's one of those perfectly cast actresses that looks both 18 and sort of like an elegant 40 at the same time.
Right.
So it's like she's just going to have a career in
hate
cinema.
Those people, man.
And it's an
drop the skin
thing.
Routine, Elijah Wood.
No, but it's an interesting thing to look at, and that's the subtlety of casting.
Yeah,
is that she could totally play older if she needed to.
Right.
I also just find that funny.
So you're talking about how at the end of this movie they say we fucking have to get together because we love each other. I don't know if you guys have seen, because of Rob Reiner's recent passing, there have been a whole bunch of interviews of him that have resurfaced. Mm. And he talks about how the original ending to When Harry Met Sally was that they were just going to stay friends.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then he met his wife.
Yeah.
And then if you think about
during the making of
yeah,
the
during
movie,
the making of it, and then how that changes your worldview enough.
Yes.
Where you're just like, I don't believe in this anymore. I believe that you can't find love.
Yeah.
It's like really beautiful, like right. little story. Yeah.
No, it is lovely. We're honoring Rob Reiner. This Sunday, we are doing a screening of Stand By Me.
Oh, cool.
Brilliant.
Which is a lovely film. It was chosen as our classic movie Sundays for this month because both of Rob Reiner, but also it is such a Stranger Things inspiring movie. Bunch of kids in their bicycles, on the train tracks, going on an adventure that involves something dark.
Mm.
It's like this is 100% where Stranger Things came from.
Yeah.
It came from movies like Stand By Me, Firestarter, E.T., all of that shit. And so, yeah, we're excited to screen that.
Cool.
Another thing I thought was cool was Kumail Nanjiani's special.
Oh, cool.
Right.
It's interesting for a few reasons. One of the main ones being he tells you in the special straight up, he's like, I used to do stand-up comedy. Like, that's where I cut my teeth.
Yeah.
Then I did all the TV shows and the movies. But, like, I want you to know I'm a comic.
Right.
Which I think is an interesting thing. And then a lovely thing that came up when I was hearing him talk about the special, which is called Night Thoughts, and it's on Disney, is him going like, we got to acknowledge things that I'm like a different person.
Right.
Very famously, Nanjiani is the person who was not overweight, but he was like a doughy, nerdy Pakistani boy who kind of played like doughy-bodied Pakistani nerdy characters.
Yeah.
And then he beefed up for Eternals and has stayed healthy and strong and like handsome. So he's like, I have to acknowledge that change.
Yes.
I have to acknowledge the fact that I'm a different person.
Right.
I can't just do the old stand up. This is the new stand up. And I find that interesting. So it's good in that sense.
Nice.
So something I thought would be nice is to do a very quick rundown of the most exciting films coming up. Because I think at the start of the year especially, and then when I was looking at this list, I realized we actually cannot do the whole year because it's going to take too much. But just immediately in the next quarter, these are the most exciting films, I think, coming up. Okay, so we've got Dead Man's Wire on the 23rd of Jan.
That actually looks pretty good.
This is the new Gus Van Sant.
Yeah.
Which is going to be interesting.
Yeah, the fact that he's returning. We've got Hamnet, which we spoke about, which is coming on the 30th of Jan. Sorry, I think I said another date earlier.
Cool.
But this is at the end of the month,
nice.
On the 30th of Jan. We start Feb with Is This Thing On?
Which is Will Arnett. Will Arnett and Laura Dern.
Yeah, which just looks like a very smart, older, nuanced comedy drama about a stand-up comedian, but he's going through a divorce.
Yeah.
So these are all the dates of when these films are coming to cinemas in South Africa.
Cool.
We've got Wuthering Heights coming on the 13th of Feb.
Ooh, I want to read the book before that comes out.
Yes, me too.
Cool.
Perfectly timed around Valentine's. This is Emerald Fennell's go at this classic book.
Yeah.
Emily Bronte, starring Margot Robbie, yeah. Jacob Elordi. Looks steamy. Looks like it's going to have some noteworthy scenes.
Yeah, director of Saltburn for those who are interested.
Yeah. And then we got Die My Love, 20th of Feb for South Africa. It's come out in other parts of the world already. This is Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
This is Lynn Ramsey, who's a credible filmmaker. It looks difficult, but still worth your time. I'm excited for The Bride, which is coming on the 6th of March. This is Maggie Gyllenhaal's film, which is about the Bride of Frankenstein in a sort of 1950s, 60s Chicago.
Should we do a screening of maybe a classic movie series? I don't know, of The Bride of Frankenstein before that comes out.
Totally.
Like the old school one, because that's also rated one of the greatest movies ever made.
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
I've never seen The Bride of Frankenstein. Christian Bale is the monster.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Christian, man.
She's roped in a few other people as well, including her brother, Jake Gyllenhaal. Then there's something interesting. I see it's cropped up. On the 3rd of March, we're getting The Testament of Anne Lee. Which is something, I think it is a musical.
All right.
And it has, what's her name now? Amanda Seyfried. And she's being nominated for this role.
Oh, okay.
So, could be interesting.
Yeah.
On the 20th of March, Project Hail Mary.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Which we're all very excited about.
Yes.
And I thought we'd end there, because on the same date, it's at least penciled in the release calendar for South Africa, is the long-awaited, which we know nothing about, film by the creators of South Park with Kendrick Lamar.
Okay.
Wow, what?
Which,
about that.
Yeah, it still doesn't got a name.
Yeah.
It's a bit dodgy.
I know it's been delayed a few times.
It's been delayed a few times. It still remains unnamed, so that's also not that good.
Yeah.
But maybe because it's South Park, there could be this quick turnaround.
Yeah, maybe.
Who knows? But at the end of March, we're getting this film with arguably the smartest, funniest comedy writers, along with the biggest name in music, Kendrick Lamar. And we know the plot. The plot is Kendrick Lamar's character works at a old museum or sort of site in America about slavery, and discovers that his girlfriend's parents used to own slaves, or owned his parents as slaves or something. So it's got some like historical slave narrative, but through the lens of the South Park minds.
Right.
Who knows?
Yeah.
And maybe this is why it's problematically been delayed.
Yes.
All right. But yeah, I thought that would be a nice thing to chat about.
Cool.
All right. Lekker, guys.
Nice.
Sweet.
I will see you soon.
Yes.
I got one more in me.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, I'll see you guys next week, and then you guys are taking the keys
yeah.
and looking after the shop.
Very nice.
Lekker. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.